Hi, and welcome to the Imaginal Podcast. This is a place that protects and explores what we need to actualize our uniqueness. And like the caterpillar, who carries its butterfly blueprint in its imaginal cells all the way to the chrysalis, and then melts into liquid before it transforms, we too have an inner knowing that can tell us how to make our wings. And here's your host, life coach and consultant, Lori Sauce, who goes most commonly by her nickname, Sauce.
Hello, it's Sauce. Welcome to the podcast. How are you? It's funny, you know, I ask that often when I start the podcast, but that question is so much more than just a rote way of greeting people. And I guess the real answer would be quite faceted, wouldn't it? So for whatever is on for you and all the layers and all the multi-dimensions that that might mean, I send you my deep care and my love, and I just hope that whatever you need in these moments will find you. Today, I'm so grateful to bring this message to you. Leslie Page is back to continue from last week. And you know, this conversation today is so meaningful and so real. We're talking about finding beauty in the hard places. And Leslie will start off by sharing what her rebirth day means to her, but it goes into so many beautiful places. And just in case you missed last week's episode, I'll link it in the show notes. But just a real quick touch point to what Leslie shared. In January of 2015, she was diagnosed with ALL leukemia, and she received a bone marrow transplant in August of that same year. And so when she talks about her rebirth day, she's talking about the anniversary of her bone marrow transplant. And Leslie brings experiential insights that she has garnered and collected because of the paths that she's traveled. And I think that you will find her story so touching, so moving, so relatable, and so helpful. And then we have a lot of fun with the anecdotal lightness at the end. Lots of laughs and wondering if you can relate. If this is your first time meeting Leslie, I think you will fall in love with her instantly. She is so beloved by so many people all around the world. And Leslie is a professional singer, songwriter, and music and dance teacher. Her life experiences resonate in her voice. Like, you hear it in her timbre. It's a rich and sultry tone. And I've been listening to Leslie sing for years and years. And I am like the standing ovation queen. I am yelling my head off. I'm moved to the core. I mean, her voice would just drop you to your knees. Her career as a vocalist has spanned over 20 years, and she's sung with Joe Walsh from the Eagles, Ringo Starr, Keith Urban, Vince Gill, Billy Gibbons, Rick Springfield, the Zac Brown Band, Gary Clark Jr., Hunter Hayes, Brad Paisley, Luke Bryan, Peaches and Herb, Richard Marx, Paul Rogers from Bad Company, and many more. Her incredible talent as a musician and as a performer is matched only in great measure by her gorgeous personhood. Leslie's episode today is so special. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I loved having it. Here she is, Leslie Page. Hey, everyone. I'm back with Leslie Page.
Hey, everybody.
And we're continuing from last week's conversation about Leslie's rebirth day. And if you happen to miss that episode, I would really encourage you to go back and listen to it. It's such a beautiful episode, and it carried so much in the form of story and meaning. And Leslie spoke about her bone marrow transplant. And I think one reason why it would be great to go back to listen to that is because it will really give you the foundation to this conversation. And we said we were going to come back. So we'll pick up from where we left off last week.
Yes.
So glad to have you back, Leslie.
Thanks for having me.
If we're laughing a little, it's because we had a few little mishaps starting this one, or I had a mishap not recording in the beginning.
Technical difficulty.
Yes, yes. And we also had a few bloopers that we wish we would have captured. But anyway, here we are.
Okay.
Leslie, to continue, What does your rebirth day mean for you, and how does it impact your life now?
What does my rebirth day mean to me? Well, I can say the first few years, it was just about gratitude for being alive. It was a marker of progress. It was a marker of distance between me and the thing that was most impactful in my life. As I said in the last podcast, they tell you, the doctors tell you, you know, after 3 years, after you hit your third rebirth day, you know, you're considered cured. You don't have to worry about anything coming back, blah, blah, blah. So I hit my third rebirth day and I was so excited. I came in, I made it. My third rebirth day. We're good. We're all good. High-fiving everybody, all the nurses and the doctors. And they're like, oh, that's really great. But yeah, we changed that to 5 years, you know? And I was like, Oh, okay. Let's work on that. So then a couple more years go by. I hit my fifth rebirth day. And again, so excited. I hit my fifth rebirth day, you guys. This is it.
Oh my gosh.
You know, wall of progress, you know, like I'm going to get my star or whatever. And then they say, oh, that's really great. Congratulations. But, you know, we actually moved it to seven. And at that point, I just said, okay, listen, I'm going to hit seven and you're going to say it's moved to 10. So I'm just going to claim it now. But in that moment, it really, you know, that shifted my perspective, because at that point, I just realized I'm just going to live my life as if none of this had ever happened physically. You know, I'm going to walk forward, not expecting, you know, the things they say I should be expecting in regards to my health, you know, because doctors can only tell you what they've seen.
Right.
And I have always been determined to show them the things that they haven't seen yet. And so every year, you know, I show up and, you know, my blood work is good and I'm healthy and I'm getting stronger. And, you know, my doctors are just so happy and I'm having to see them less and less. You know, now I only have to go in every 6 months rather than every month or every two or three.
That's awesome.
You know, now I'm just so grateful. The more distance I get from the experience itself, the more time that passes, I'm just so thankful. And I really realize, wow, I don't have any time to waste because I could be dead right now. And I have been given a second chance at life. And the more I get away from the thing and the more time passes, and physically through the years, I've hit some physical roadblocks, graft versus host disease, which is something that happens with any kind of transplant, where your own body or your immune system tries to fight whatever that foreign thing is. And it can manifest in many different ways. And for me, it was chronically. So it happened after the first 100 days post bone marrow transplant. And so it's less predictable. And you're just sort of at the whim of whatever your body's going to do. And so through the years, I have pushed through those things and tried to find remedies and tried to work through it. And I am. But it just gives me the determination that I am going to regain everything that has been lost and then some. And the more time, and also I pay attention to numbers. I'm not like into numerology or anything, but I know certain numbers have significance. And so I know the number seven for me was a big number because seven is the number of completion, you know? So I thought, okay, by year seven, like whatever needed to happen within that first 7 years is complete. You know, whatever growth I needed or whatever foundations were being broken so that new foundations could be rebuilt, whether that's mentally, physically, emotionally, mindsets that I had about myself, about my body, about my capabilities and my abilities. So many lessons and things to process through on so many different levels in regard to that whole experience. By year seven, I felt, okay, like I've accomplished things in this time period. And now that I've hit number eight, which is the number of new beginnings, it means so much to me to look forward going, okay, I have made it through 8 years and I'm still here. I'm still alive. I have so many things I still have not accomplished. I am not going to be, you know, held back or determined or labeled by those limitations, but I'm going to look at them as the next challenge moving forward, of the thing I will overcome, the thing I will show those doctors. They're not expecting to see this. They're not expecting me, you know, I mean, even a year out of my transplant, I was out on tour. They've never seen that. They've never seen that. Usually people are not working in that amount of time. I mean, I still didn't even have hair, really.
Yeah. And can you just share really quick what that tour was?
Oh, yes. So there are occasions where I sing backup for Joe Walsh from the Eagles. And I had started working with him prior to me being sick. But through the whole thing, you know, we stayed in touch. And then it was, I believe, in December or around the holidays after my transplant. So that would have been late 2015, early 2016. And Joe was out with the Eagles and they were touring. And then Glenn Frey passed away. And I just had a feeling, I wonder if I'm going to get a phone call, if Joe's going to want to go out on tour. And lo and behold, I got a phone call and from his Smokey, the manager. His manager, and just checking in, how are you? You know, we're thinking about going on tour. Is that something you're able or interested in? And I was like, oh, yes. I mean, absolutely. Yes, please. Yes. I was just so ready to get back into life and so ready to not let this thing that I was going through keep me from my greatest joys. And this was not even a year out of my transplant. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. I remember telling my nurse practitioner, I love her. Her name is Carolina, and she's very protective of me. She's like a second mother, big sister, second mother, you know. And she's like, looks at my mom when I tell her, yeah, I'm going out on tour. And, you know, what do I need, you know, medication wise and things like that, you know, just set me up. And she looks at my mom and goes, what are you doing? You're going to give me gray hairs. And I just said, listen, you know, you didn't save my life for me not to live it. Oh, like, I've got to go.
How did it feel for you to be on stage and with the group of people that you care about so much too, performing?
Emotionally, I felt like I was getting my life back piece by piece.
Oh, wow.
Physically, that was a different story because I was not even a year out of my bone marrow transplant, and I was still very weak. So every moment that I was not on stage, I was sleeping.
Yeah, your body's repairing.
My body was just not having it, but I didn't care. I told my body, listen, we're just going to get up on that stage and do our thing, and the minute we're done, we can go back to sleep. And
spirit.
I did. You know, and I knew, and cool thing was my actual oncology doctor, he was like, yes, absolutely, go do it. Like, he was so supportive and excited for me. And I think it also showed him something that he hadn't maybe seen, which was I wasn't just going to sit in the illness or in that space. I was ready to move forward. I was ready to be done. I was like, okay, I've accomplished this thing. I've done it. Now what? Let's go. You know, I don't want to just sit here and like slow recover. I've always been too active, and also I didn't want to lean or depend on anybody. I was done being taken care of. That's just not a part of my personality. You know, I'm very independent.
Yeah.
And I was just ready to be done with that part. And so over the years, you know, I've slowly increased my activities, and I took a trip a couple of years ago to Costa Rica with a friend of mine. And I was kind of worried because I knew it was going to be very active. And with some of these complications with graft versus host disease, I get a lot of cramping in my body and it's never controllable. And I was worried, well, what if I'm on the zip line and all of a sudden I get a cramp? Or like, what am I, you know, I was worried about rappelling down a waterfall and hiking. What is that going to look like for me?
I love you.
Really active up to that point. You know, I was a little bit here and there, but I wasn't working out. I was still dealing with a lot of physical stuff, but pushing myself as best as I could. But that trip was really life-changing for me because I was able to do every one of those things.
Wow.
Ziplining, hiking, whitewater rafting, canyoning down waterfalls, rappelling down waterfalls. Everything that I was afraid my body wasn't going to let me do, I was able to do. And then from that moment, it motivated me. Okay, now I know what I need to do. I need to get stronger so that I can keep going and having fun.
Oh, by the way, what is canyoning down waterfalls?
It's like rappelling down waterfalls, and they call it canyoning, where you're going into these places and you're attached by a rope and a thing around your body. And they basic, like you're just hanging off the side of a cliff,
you know, gosh.
And sometimes there's a waterfall trip. And there's water falling on you and you're just holding on for dear life. But obviously someone's there with the extra security rope, you know, it was all very safe. But I mean, it was physically challenging, you know, imagine
totally.
Like rock climbing
oh my gosh.
Up. But you're going yes. the other way. You're just going down. So you hike up, 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 up where you got to go. And then uh-huh. you just, you know, slowly move down.
Wow. In the middle of the waterfall, the water in, falling
like there was,
on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, there was some where waterfalls were like falling on us. And then there are other times where we have to like walk across the bridge that doesn't have any handles on either side. And you have to just walk straight through the middle.
Oh
and it's
gosh.
Like, you know, you're
wow.
attached to something, of course. But like
oh,
the potential
okay.
of you to just fall off and be hanging is a very real thing.
Wow. Know? Yes. Yes. I keep picturing myself yeah. like hugging that little pathway, like crouching.
Oh, trust
down,
me.
Hugging
there
it.
Were, there were times we made it to one, you know, and there's places where you're like swinging from one tree to another. You're literally swinging like Tarzan.
Really?
From one tree to another tree. And then you're just holding on for dear life so that you don't fall over.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's incredible that your body was able to do that in your spirit, you know?
And I was pleasantly surprised. And that trip, actually, it was fun because at the end of the trip, and now we do this on all of our trips when we go on trips together, my friend and I, is we made a list at the airport of all the things we were leaving behind.
Oh,
and all the
gosh.
Things we were taking with us from this trip.
Well, like what? I mean,
so
you
like,
don't have to divulge what you don't
yeah,
want.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, just like leaving behind fear of what I thought my body could be.
Oh, wow.
Or leaving behind certain mindsets or certain ways of thinking or believing.
Yeah.
And taking with me, you know, the things that I learned on this trip.
Oh, that's such a great practice. That's
yeah,
beautiful.
It really is awesome because it takes your experiences to a whole nother level. And so we do that now on all of our trips. And so that
I love
then,
it so much.
Yeah. And then that paved the way for me to start really working out with my body and getting stronger. And now, you know, because also for me, a lot that I've had to regain is flexibility and balance. Because of, you know, not walking for 5 weeks, being in a hospital bed and just losing all my muscle mass and growing up being a dancer and having incredible balance and incredible flexibility and then not being able to do those things was very frustrating. So that experience and that time sort of, you know, led me into, I'm going to start pushing myself now. You know, it might hurt a little bit. This might be painful, but I'm seeing that I need to do this in order to get back what has been lost. So through the years of that and then more traveling experiences and just the further I get away is also the further that I grow.
That's,
you know.
Yes. Leslie, would you say that there were things that you maybe worried about when beforehand that you've let go?
Oh, so many things.
Really?
So, yeah. So many things. I mean, when you're facing with a 15% chance of living and you don't have any choice in the matter, it's not something that you caused or you created or, you know, it's not like I, you know, drank too much diet soda or, you know, it was nothing
no,
that
of
I
course.
Did,
yeah.
to, you know, but you're just put in these situations. It shifts your entire life and it shifts everything that you think about and everything that you care about or the things you thought mattered
right
don't matter anymore. And it comes back to just the real simple, the most simple aspects of life that I think we lose because we've gained so much excess and so much knowledge, so much this, so much that. There's so much abundance, but at the same time I think sometimes it waters down the most important things.
Yes. What would you say some of those things are for you?
For me, a big one was allowing myself to say no when I would always feel like my value was tied up in how I served others.
Yeah.
And always putting myself and my health and my well-being last.
Oh, I think people can relate to this. Yes.
like even just getting to the doctor in the first place, I was almost dead before I even said yes to accepting an ambulance ride. Mm-hmm. I was almost dead. And it was also a very humbling experience because I have grown up so independent. And a lot of that was because I couldn't depend on the people around me.
Yes.
So it was a learned mindset of I've got this, I can do it on my own. And then you're put in a situation where you literally cannot walk from one side of the room to the other without somebody holding you.
Mm-hmm.
Was extremely life-changing and humbling because it taught me how to receive.
That's beautiful.
And, you know, my every aspect of my life, because I have a very compartmentalized life. I have people in from school, from high school, from college. I have people from my musical theater days. I have people from Arthur Murray when I was teaching ballroom dancing day, you know, you know, just so many different aspects of life. And during that time, my friends came together and did a fundraiser for me.
Yeah.
And did an auction, a live auction, raised money to help me and to see every single person from every aspect of my life in the same room.
Leslie, yes.
Was profound. And it was very humbling. And I had to learn how to just say thank you and not say, oh, thank you, but what can I do for you? You know, or I had nothing to give at that time. I had mm-hmm. nothing, no capacity for anything but getting up and doing what I needed to do for myself. You know, those are just a few of the big things, mindset things that really shifted for me. But I mean, so many things from just not caring, not holding on to stuff that's unnecessary. I mean, I honestly believe that some of why I was sick was, you know, how sometimes when we go through very traumatic emotional experiences and those things can manifest physically.
Oh, mine too. Absolutely, for sure.
You know, yeah. I had mm-hmm. a lot of anger and resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, fear,
mm-hmm.
All kind of lumped together. And I think that may have contributed to some of why I went through what I went through. And coming out on the other side of that, it gave me so much freedom to just let go of all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, and once you realize, whoa, this can actually impact me physically if I don't deal with these deep emotional things, if I don't
yes.
deal with that stuff and go after healing those things.
Yes. No, I read a while ago, The Body Keeps the Score. I don't know if you've read that book, but I'm going to link that in the show notes. There's so yeah. much connection, mind, body, spirit that they're finding. Yeah, so I'll put that in the show notes. But Leslie, what would you say to the listener if you could offer them any encouragement or insight just about life and these things specifically that we're sharing about right now?
Oh, I think the most important thing just that's coming to mind right now is to just try to be as present as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't worry about what's coming tomorrow. I mean, especially if you're in it and you're sick and you're just going through the motions and you're on the health, you're on the plan, whatever that journey is to get you from where you're at to where you need to be in order to live and thrive and survive and get your life back, is just to be present. Because if we get too caught up in the past, wondering how did this happen? Why did this happen? What, you know, all that stuff, like that's, you know, that's a roller coaster that's not really necessary, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how you got here, you're here.
I think we can wrongly blame ourselves too for either sickness or even just any other thing that goes wrong, you know.
Oh, sure.
Not to say sure. we don't take responsibility for things. I don't mean that. But in general, no. Like I think the feedback loop is often incorrect, and we blame ourselves, put a lot of energy into that.
Right.
Kind
like,
of
what did
guilt.
I do? What did
yeah,
I do
yeah,
to
yeah.
get here? You know,
yeah.
And it's not always about that. You
right.
know, stuff just happens. You know,
yeah.
there's not always a cause or, you know, but at the end of the day, again, it really doesn't matter how it happened unless you're trying to prevent it from happening again, of course. But you're here now. It's about what do we do here now to get where we want to go. And I would just say, keep your eyes on the prize. Like, keep your eyes on the healing. Keep your focus and your attention on whatever you need to do to get to the other side of this thing, you know?
Yeah, no, thank you. And do you have any words for this season in life where we're not going through anything? We're maybe worried about small things. We're worried about someone liked our social media post, which I'm not putting down. I know, you know, these things, all these things are very real, but maybe we're not going through any big life thing. But do you have any encouragement just in the scheme of things when we do get caught up in maybe things that shouldn't have so much of a hold on us?
Right. Well, it's funny that you say that because, you know, it's been 8 years now. And because I have so much distance between that thing that I went through with leukemia and now, it's so easy to just get swept up in the little things. You know, it's so easy to just kind of get knocked off.
You forget sometimes.
Yeah. And you're just wait a minute. Just 8 years, I was almost dead. Like, I think in those moments, it's just about finding what you're grateful for. You know, I know for a while I was reading this book called The Happiness Advantage, and it was all about, you know, how to maintain and find happiness. And one of the main components of that is gratitude. And even just, you know, if you have a journal or a calendar, like a daily, weekly, monthly calendar, if you can just stay focused every day on writing down 2-3 things that you're grateful for and keeping your mindset on the positive, and then at the end of the day, just write a post-it down wherever you're at and just be like, whatever you're dealing with right now is nothing compared to what you've already been through. So you've got this.
Oh, that's really cool.
You know, that's just like really put the cool post-it on in your car, on, you know, on your mirror, you know, wherever you need a little reminder. Cause I'll even do that like with being sick and singing, because there's always one night that I compare every other working night to where I was so terribly sick. I had no voice. I was in pain. I was felt like I was going to die, but I still did the gig and I made it through, you know? And so now,
Go ahead.
No. And so now I just think if I'm feeling sick and I have to go to work and I'm not feeling great or something's not going my way, I just think, well, you know what? At least it's not as bad as that other thing that I've already been through. So I think I'm okay. You know?
That is such an incredibly beautiful point of relevant or what, like things are relevant, I guess. Not relevant, relative. Although it is relevant too.
Yeah, it's relevant. It's also relative.
And relatable.
And
yeah,
relatable. Yes.
Yeah. I love. Yes.
Yeah. But it's just about, I think, and I think that's where we trip up is when we just get so caught up in the tornado of our immediate circumstance that we forget that we've already been through something worse or harder. And we think that we can't handle the tornado because we're in it. When it's like, wait a minute, I've already dealt with way harder stuff than this. Like, why am I getting myself caught up? You know, and I think we just forget how strong we actually are. You know, I think when we get overwhelmed, we think we can't handle it. And it's just not true. We can handle it. And even if we are so overwhelmed, like we're still alive, we're still breathing. So it's going to be okay. At the end of the day, it's going to be okay. There's nothing in this world that is worth getting so overwhelmed with that we can't function. We have to just remember we are strong. We do have the ability to get through whatever it is that we're facing, whether it's with the support of others or with the gumption of our own heart.
Yes, yes. I was going to say it's a great callback to accepting help from other people and accepting love from others, being cared for as you, I'm sure the listener has cared for so many people. Mm-hmm. And also, I think that idea, I love all these tangible things that you've shared here and that you share on every episode. I think I might just also call back to the idea of compassion, which I know we've spoken about at different times. Compassion is different than pity. We don't have to, you know, be in a pity tank, whatever that is.
Yeah. Tank. A tank of pity.
But that, you know, the compassion and then the emotions and all that stuff. But yeah, no, I think what you're bringing is the meaning and all that is beautiful about life. Cause you spoke about these adventures and these exciting things and then love and experiences you've had with friends. And there's so many things that really mean something. And it really does sift out from the small ruminations that we have over things that really don't matter.
Right.
It becomes so much clearer when you have that perspective that you have so beautifully described.
Absolutely. And now I look back and I'm just thankful that I even went through it at all.
You know,
because the really, really hard stuff, like I think I said in the last podcast, the really hard stuff is really what cultivates the deepest character growth.
Oh, yeah. You know, Les, my mom, at the end of her life, she was, I think I've spoken a little bit about this, but at different times, but so she knew she wasn't going to get well. And I know that's, you know, the human experience too. And I was so surprised to hear her say, she said, "Would I change this experience?" No. And I was like, why? You know, because she was so, so sick. And she said, not for the healing that we have experienced emotionally as a family. I wouldn't change it. And I felt that was so generous. And so I found that to be, I don't even know how to unpack it still in ways.
I feel like that's grace.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think she, I don't even know, but just goes to this, the depth that you speak of that we experience and forge in these times, you know?
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's what Beauty from Ashes comes from, you know, that phrase of, you know, finding the growth and the beauty from the pain and the hard places. I mean, I can speak to that too, as in regard to the healing that went down, especially between me and my mom. You know,
we've
always had a really great relationship, but, you know, being a single mom and, you know, and only child, you know, you get mother-daughter issues in there and, you know, things that needed to be broken in order for us to regrow.
Oh, wow.
And start from a new place happened. And it would not have happened if we had not gone through that journey together. There's no way, you know, I think when you're facing those grave situations, it's the conduit for honest, real conversations because you don't know if you're going to get another one. So it's kind of like you just lay everything out on the table with love and honesty. And completely began the repair of the relationship between me and my mom, which, you know, is one of the most beautiful things I think that came out of the whole thing. So I can relate to that as well. The connections and the family and,
Yeah, I didn't know that about you and your mom.
Yeah.
I mean, for this, you know, that wedding occurred here on that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the only way that those conversations were going to be had. And I think because she was afraid that I wasn't going to make it, and I wasn't afraid of that, but, you know, obviously, you know, that's a risk. I think it just allowed for us to both put everything out, what we were feeling, and so much forgiveness came out of that. I mean, so many things can come out of these kind of situations if you're open to it. You know, it's all about your choices, and it's really incredible when you can garner incredible growth and fruit and wonderful outcome from terrible situation. That's what keeps us going in this life.
And you have always had such an open heart for things like that, you know, to be open to it. And I just love that about you so much. Okay, well, should we transition into Momentary Lightness?
And yes.
I always call it Momentary Lightness, and that is not the name. I just call it that almost every time.
Momentary Lightness
and yes. things that are funny.
Yes.
I really need to. I think I need to crowdsource for a different little segment title, but for now, I'll just keep saying the wrong one.
Yes. So,
okay. So maybe we should go into our makeup mishaps.
Okay. Yeah, you go first.
Well, by the way, we were laughing before we were starting to, we just checked in about if either one of us had something on with regards to anecdotal lightness. And we were laughing about, well, a million things actually, but we were laughing about how on Zoom, you know, everybody talks about how you don't have to necessarily be totally dressed professionally, except from the top up, if you're not standing up in your Zoom meeting. But we also, I was just saying that you don't really have to do your makeup perfectly. Like, if your lipstick isn't lined perfectly, if you just have a splash of color, it's like not that big of a deal. The one time I did have some on my chin, which is like the most, like, I sometimes just wonder, like, why don't people tell you that you have these things going on? So anyway, what's yours?
Oh my God. Okay. So, as you have leukemia and you're going through chemo, you lose your hair. I lost my eyebrows, my hair, all the body hair, which was actually great for some spots. That's great. You know, you don't have to wax or shave for a long time, which was awesome. But I lost my eyebrows. And at one point I looked like, I'm not even kidding, I looked like Lord Voldemort from Harry Potter.
I can't imagine you looking like that.
Trust me, when I don't have eyebrows on and no hair,
you're legit, so cute.
It's Lord Voldemort. But no, I also lost a lot of my eyelashes. So over the years, you know, all the hair on my face and head is growing back, and it wasn't all growing in on my eyebrows. Like, my right eyebrow was good, but my left eyebrow only had a little bit right at the front. And so I'd have to attempt to draw that in, which I do not have the artistic hand. So I'd have, you know, one eyebrow, which was normal because I still had some guiding line to help me define it. But the other one was just looking like, I don't know, Cruella De Vil, like just
a You're full so cute.
Dramatic like eyebrow. So eventually I ended up getting the, it's like not a, it's like a tattoo, but it's like the natural like powder brows, you know? So now I have, you know, nice eyebrows that I still will color in just for definition, but there, at least there's a tracing line for me to work with. But
your eyebrows are gorgeous. Yes.
Well, that's my girl. We'll send the link to my girl in Palm Desert.
I've waxed off mine by accident sometimes.
No, like, God.
Back in the day when thinner eyebrows were like in vogue, and my sister and I were trying to wax our own. Just don't try waxing your own eyebrows unless you really know what you're doing, because I remember I waxed off like a big chunk. But anyways, go on, please.
Oh my God, no, that's terrible. Oh my gosh, that reminds me. Tani.
Yes.
Was also your student. My best friend growing up, she, during the 90s, when the Gwen Stefani look was in, she tweezed the top of my brow and thinned it out, and it never grew back. Never. So just never grew back.
I wonder why some hairs just don't grow back, but others do, like in the most inopportune places. Like, what is the rules on this thing?
Who knows? So to speak to that further, my eyelashes were also thin and sparse, like majorly thin and sparse. And so you know how the thing is now where people are getting the lash fill.
Yeah.
They're filling in their lashes.
Yeah.
And so I decided to try it out a couple of times. This was back when I just still didn't really have much to work with at all. And I was even surprised that she was able to fill them. So she did my lashes, and they're just looking super Vegas, like just all sorts of flash and fullness. And I'm just like, this is amazing. And I was getting ready to go to Italy for a month. And she says, well, you're going to have to get the little fills because they're going to fall out, and you're going to have to like fill them in yourself because out all the time. Because they only last a couple of weeks, no matter what. I mean, it doesn't matter how much glue you've got. Your lashes, they, you know, they fall out and regrow all the time.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you're not ready to commit, to doing that all the time, I don't suggest it because there's going to be those off times. So, and I didn't get the individual ones. I got the ones that have like three or four poking out. So I figured that would, I'd use less of them and cover more space.
I always thought those would be easier too.
Yeah, it's really not. I mean, it's really not easy at all. Okay, so first of all, it's the dead of summer in Italy. It's hot and humid. And I'm sitting in front of a fan because the AC is like, you know, it's in the other room. They don't have AC in all the rooms. And they don't have it in the bathrooms. Only, it's like, you know, one of the ones that's on the outside, you use like a little remote control to turn it on and off, which is great. It's useful when it's in the room. But the mirror and the lighting was not in the room that I needed it to be in. So I'm in the room. I'm sweating. I'm trying to dip my lash into this glue, trying to get it to dry enough so that I can stick it on. And by the end of the trip, I had very few lashes left.
So the job was getting bigger.
So the job was getting bigger, more time consuming. And already I have shaky hands. So trying to stabilize the one individual strand of lashes fit right in the gap. And I was, there was nothing to stick it to because I didn't have many natural lashes. So I'm trying to just stick it straight to the my eyeball, like my eyelid. And by the end, I ran out of my spare lashes because they fall out like every day. You really can't reuse them unless you're able to save them. So then I'm walking around Italy with like one lash on my right eye, two lashes on my left eye, looking like a crazy person.
You're so cute. Oh my gosh.
Going to all the different stores trying to find lashes, and I couldn't find lashes anywhere. Like, why don't we have fake lashes here? Or if they were, there were the strip, but the really obnoxious ones, like where for a party, like where it's like feathers or like, you know, tinsel or something, just not natural looking lashes.
Yes, I know. Yes.
And I'm like, I have like less than a week left. Why can't I find these lashes? And I'm thinking, everyone's going to think I'm crazy. What's going on with this girl's lashes?
It's so great.
And it was like, you know, it's like when a kid loses their teeth.
Oh my gosh. It's so cute.
On this side and like one tooth on this side, like that was what my eyelashes were.
Oh my gosh. I mean, one of the reasons I'm laughing so hard is because I have tried to put lashes on too. Not the easiest thing in the world. I've definitely aborted the whole process.
Yeah, and abort.
More mascara.
Well, it's like the same thing with the liquid liner. You know, everyone's trying to get the wing.
We can do a series on these.
Oh my gosh, you get the wing. And then this one's a little thicker than this one. So then you got to thick this one out. And then this one's thicker than this one. And then you just end up looking like, I don't even know.
Oh my gosh. So I mentioned a couple of episodes ago that I went to, when I was in Colorado, I chipped one of my teeth. And it was a weak tooth because I had injured it when I was a child. So it's not like I could have just gotten to where I was going. And I didn't have insurance I had insurance, but it was California insurance.
Right.
They don't let you change until you get to your destination. So I was like, all right, I've got to do something. So anyway, I don't even know why I'm giving this whole backstory, but I was in the lot of the dentist's office. And for some reason, I decided to look in the mirror before going in, I guess because I'd never met these people, whereas other times I just go in looking crazy. But I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh no, I must have been in a rush because I had, you know, when you you blink too much after putting your mascara on, you get these nice little black segments on your lips. And then you're in the dilemma of like, do I rub these off and rub my eyeshadow off at the same time?
Right. Get the Q-tip.
Of which I didn't have with me. And I'm like trying to get it off. And then meanwhile, you know, the other side, my eyeshadow looks different. And I'm like, oh, I don't know these people. And he's going to have that magnifying glass that dentists have, you know, those little magnifying things. He's going to be looking straight at these. I'm like, what do I do? So, yeah. Anyway, but.
What did you do?
I just tried to rub it off. I'm like mimicking what I was doing right now. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just kept thinking it's going to have those magnifying like glasses and it's going to be like, bawk, bawk,
bawk. Oh my gosh. You know?
Oh my gosh.
seriously happens to me every time I put in my contacts. Because I always put in my contacts after I've just done my mascara because I don't want to get the mascara on the contacts.
Right? Oh, yes.
So then
yes.
I like, you peel the eyeball open. And it's not quite dry yet.
Oh, no. Oh my gosh.
It is pain. Yes. People. It's hard to keep up with beauty standards of the 21st century.
All right. Well, oh, on that note, and also because we're both, at least I am so hot right now.
I'm hot too.
Leslie and I turned off our air conditioning and fans for the sake of like ambient noise being cut out of the podcast. And yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm in Palm Springs. She's on the East Coast. So she's got the humid heat and we just had a hurricane. So we're still humid over here.
Yeah. And, oh. So we're both like, yeah, I've got my hair in an updo held by my hand.
Our faces are slightly tomato-ish
shinier
red.
Than before.
We'll yes. call it the glow.
And the whole thing was to like cut out the fan noise, but then I have the dogs barking in the background anyway. So here we are, folks. All right, Leslie, where can people connect with you?
Oh, my goodness. People can find me on Instagram at Leslie Page Music. LesliePageMusic. Also on all the other social media platforms, YouTube, but you can also find my music on Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, all the platforms. You can find me on all the things at Leslie Page and also my website, LesliePage.com, PAGE.com.
And you can find me on Instagram at Lori Sasse, LORISASE. I have like a chorus of barking in the background. Or my website, lorisasse.com, same spelling. And Leslie, happy rebirth day. I'm so glad to be with you. That was so much, so many
beautiful things. I'm happy yes. to be alive and to be with you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And to you listening, thank you so much as always for being with us. We hope you have a great week.
Yes.